From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. Occasionally on our show, we like to invite an artist we love to join us. And few artists are as dear to our hearts as Julieta Venegas.
The Mexican-American singer-songwriter is as beloved to us for her amazing voice, her consistently good musicianship, as she is for her constant role as an unwavering independent artist.
A native of Tijuana, she's won 5 Latin Grammys and 1 Grammy, sold more than 7 million albums worldwide. She's added music to soundtracks of great Latin films like Maria Full of Grace and Amores Perros. She is a true artist. She's currently on tour for her album Otra Cosa, or Something Else, and she was kind enough to stop by to play some songs for us and talk a little bit about her own influences, her album, and the tour. Julieta, welcome to the show.
Hi.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. At what age do you start playing music?
When I was like 8 years old, I started studying classical piano, and it was kind of my dream to go off to a conservatory and be a classical pianist, and that kind of started changing around, and then I wanted to direct an orchestra. You know, I must have been like 10 when I was dreaming about that. And then by the time I was 16, I was still playing classical piano, but a friend of mine invited me to play in his band in Tijuana, and that's basically how I started playing with bands. It was kind of a rowdy band, so it was pretty fun for me to get out of the piano and just go directly to a reggae, ska, hardcore sort of band. And that was really important for me because I started getting into first just improvising, you know, improvising on stage. And then after that, we didn't have a vocalist. So I became the singer, and writing lyrics and writing songs and just sort of yelling on stage was great. My first impulse to do writing was when I was in this band, you know, when it was called Chantaje. And then they became Tijuana No afterwards. But before, it was called Chantaje, and it was just... My parents hated the idea of me playing in a band, actually. They thought it was going to ruin everything for them, because I was, you know, it was cool to have me at home playing classical music, but then a different thing was to have these weird-looking guys coming over, you know, to pick me up and inviting me to do shows with them. For them, it was like, no, what's going to happen to our daughter? You know, that kind of thing.
Plus, Tijuana, no, like, of all the bands you could have picked to shock your parents straight out of classical music, like, that band was rowdy.
Yeah, they were totally rowdy. And also, they were pretty funny. All of them were characters, and my dad was pretty shocked. But, you know, it was great, because for me, it was definitely a turning point.
Were there, like, any... female artists that you were looking up to when you joined Tijuana No? Like, I mean...
Yeah, there were a bunch of them. I was definitely into Sinead O'Connor and Susan Vega, and male, Tom Waits or Lou Reed. Everything about Lou Reed was just like, oh, so, you know, so amazing and everything.
And what about Latin artists?
I think I started listening to music in Spanish after, like in the 90s when Café Tacuba came to Tijuana.
Thinking back to your first couple of records, which song was a point where you could say, I'm really comfortable, I'm really proud, I really like this song. Can you think back to a song that made you think that, I'm a songwriter now?
Well, actually, Esta Vez, which is in the first album, and Aquí, is one of the first songs that I wrote and that I liked and that I played for friends, and it was always around. Even though after I left Tijuana, I joined another band, and I tried to put a couple of bands together, and that song was kind of on standby for a while. I always kept coming back to it. I was playing a lot of shows in Tijuana. When I left Tijuana, no, I started playing shows by myself with the piano, and I felt very much alone, you know, and I didn't see anybody playing piano and writing songs. And then one day I saw Tori Amos in a TV show and I was like, oh my God, look, somebody's playing piano and singing. That's great.
So you did several soundtracks for films. A lot of people got to know you through the song Me Van a Matar, or They're Going to Kill Me, for Amores Perros. And I want to listen to that song because that film was very big for Mexican cinema. But it was also big for Latin alternative because it just had a great soundtrack. Yeah.
Es mi ala que siempre he buscado. Me dijo un día y yo sonrió satisfecha y confiada en que lo nuestro es la verdad. Y confiada en que lo nuestro es la verdad. Ojos decían para siempre ese día, hasta que un día ese día llegó. Lo dicho lo va comiendo lento el sol, cerca del mar embarcan a eternidad. Que nunca habrá nada que nos separe, siempre estás a mi lado. ¿Acaso será para siempre?
When you make a song for a soundtrack, walk us through that process. I mean, do you read the script first? How do you capture the emotion, especially a movie like this one, Amores Perros, that was very intense, emotionally grueling movie? I mean, how do you capture that emotion in song?
Well, in the case of Amores Perros, I saw the film. It wasn't out yet, but Lynn Feinstein, who's the one who came up with the whole concept of that album, sent it to a bunch of people. And basically what I did was watch the film, and immediately, as soon as I was done, I wrote the song. You know, sometimes I do read the script. Depends on, you know, what process, what part of the process a movie is in. They'll give me the script, or I get together with the director and he tells me the basic idea or how I would synthesize what I'm trying to say in this film. Sometimes after reading the script, I'll get together with the director and he'll tell me this. In the case of Diego Luna, which is the last one that I did for Abel, that's the way it was. I got together with Diego and he basically told me, look, this is what I think and this is the reason why I made this film. And, you know, he just gave me some pointers and that really helped. Tus amores perros me van a matar sin haberme dado siquiera un poco de
Let's move forward a little bit to your most recent album, Otra Cosa. And how did you approach this album when you're trying to put it in the perspective of all the things you've done so far? You know, what were your thoughts? What were you thinking about as you went into this record?
Well, I had just finished, well, not just finished, but I had come from an experience doing an Unplugged for MTV and sort of doing this huge, you know, arranging and putting together a bunch of friends and inviting, you know, Marisa Monte and inviting, you know, it was just like a huge group of people that I put together for that album. And I was really in the mood for doing the opposite, which was just going home and doing something really small by myself and just kind of like, you know, resting a little from such a big, huge party that I put together for that, which was great. But it was after doing a tour with 15 people in my band, for me, it was like, okay, I'm done. I want to rest. I don't want to do anything. I just want to stay at home. So it became very intimate, the whole experience, writing it. I mean, I always do the same thing when I'm writing. I just sort of like lock my doors and get stuck at home and start writing and reading and playing the piano and very slowly starting, you know, to put songs together. So I'm not like, oh, something just came to my head, I'm going to run and write it. I need to do it very slowly. I'm very much of a sort of like putting the cement together and then, you know, painting and just very slowly doing sort of like an everyday thing. I start to get into the routine of just sitting in the piano every day and writing a little bit. So basically that's the beginning of it, and then start arranging the songs in another part of my house, which I have like a really tiny little equipment studio and a bunch of instruments, and I start trying things out. And I think I had a lot of influence from the Unplugged, which was I had a bunch of instruments that I had gotten for that experience to try the arrangements. And so, you know, I had like banjos and cavaquinho and cuatro. I started messing around with effects on the accordion and just, you know, kind of doing a combination of things. So it was very intimate. It was fun.
Well, why don't we listen to something off of that album? Is it okay if we hear the song Bien o Mal?
Yes, of course.
Hiciste de repente todo parece brillar. Todas estas melodías no decían nada y ahora dicen más. Ah, ahora dicen más. Todo lo que me importaba desde tu llegada no importa ya. Lo que parecía difícil ya no representa dificultad. Pero me pongo a dudar, me confundo y no distingo si está bien o si está mal. Si está bien, agradezco y te corresponderé. Si está mal, como nunca lloraré. Mientras tanto, puesto todo por
salir. This is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like there's several songs in the album that are about dealing with doubt and with like insecurity. What is this song specifically about?
It's exactly about insecurity, sort of wondering if something's going to work out or not, and you're not really sure about it. But then I go to the chorus and I'm saying something like, you know, if it's good, great. If it's bad, it's going to be pretty bad, but I should definitely bet on it.
I'm going to ask you about the music part of that song and your music in general. The interesting stuff you're doing with the accordion.
Oh yeah, that has a lot of effects. I mean, I must have recorded like 6 tracks of accordion, some of them with effects, some of them without it.
So. The accordion, because sometimes people make fun of it, it gets teased, you know, in popular culture and all
nerdy,
that.
Yeah.
You know, but at what point did you realize, hey, I can make some really interesting music with this instrument?
Well, it's been a process. I mean, it didn't. I was always curious about it, you know. I always thought it was very close to the piano in a sense, but it's totally different, you know. So I was curious about it, and as I said before, listening to Big World by Joe Jackson or This Is It by Los Lobos, I was always like, wow, this is great. I mean, they do stuff. It's sort of a different context for it, and they come up with ways of using it, and I just enjoy it, you know. It's just a fun instrument to play.
You've definitely taken it beyond the conjunto format.
Yeah.
You know, you've taken it way beyond.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I guess I enjoy it. And also when I started playing the accordion, it wasn't exactly for what you expect, which was norteño music. It was not as a Latin sort of, or norteño influence. I mean, and whatever it is that I use, it sounds different putting an accordion through an effects box than if I do it with a guitar. You know, it's going to be something different. And it's always fun to keep on coming up with new ways of using it.
Do you sometimes play it in a traditional sense? You play it with like an accordion with a conjunto format?
Can you just explain conjunto style?
Conjunto is a traditional Mexican-American style along the border between the United States and Mexico. polkas, rancheras, two steps.
Never actually tried that before, but I enjoy it too. I mean, I would love to do it like that too. When I start doing arrangements, I just go in different directions, and I think even if you have a really complex thing going there, as soon as you play a norteño style accordion, it just brings you down somewhere else, and right. It makes it very familiar. And I that's what basically I enjoy about the accordion. It always brings me back to something very tierra, very you can do this, with a bunch of people, or you can do it by itself, or like in the Unplugged, I did a song called El Presente, which has strings and it has like a bunch of instruments going around, but as soon as I start the accordion, and it's a very norteño style accordion that I did for that one, it brings you back to a very very folky sounding song, which is pretty cool.
Cool, why don't we listen to that? Ya sé lo que te diga no va a ser suficiente, ay, 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 ay. Y lo que tú me entregues dejará pendientes, ay, 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 ay. ¿Quién nos dice que la vida nos dará el tiempo necesario? Tomar lo que deseas como si solo quedara el presente, es lo único que tengo. El presente es lo único. So Julieta, whenever we have guests here, we always ask them to bring their iPod and tell us what artists are on heavy rotation. Who are you listening to a lot these days?
Well, the albums that I've listened to a lot since last year, Jepe, Audiovisión, is definitely an amazing album. I think he's grown a lot. I mean, from his last EP that he brought out, Las Piedras, to this one, he's expanded his palette just so huge, and at the same time made it more easy to connect with. I just really, really enjoyed that album.
So what song by Jepe do you want to listen to?
Oh, I'd love to listen to Doce Minerales.
Doce, doce minerales, doce materiales para hacer que tú. Doce, doce sistemas con doce maneras para hacer que yo primero te escuche, luego te entienda, te siga hasta la puerta y te vea salir. Te pareces a alguien que conoce hace tiempo y que nunca se olvida. Siete, siete minerales son algunos que quedan para hacer que tú primero me escuches, luego te imagines, me sigas a la puerta y me veas salir. Nueve, lo piensas distinto. Te tomas tu tiempo, no se digo lo que veo, no se lo dices así.
I also love Javier Amena. Coincidentally, they're both Chileans. I didn't, it's not purpose. It's not like I have this thing with Chile. Well, I do, but,
they have an amazing music scene there.
Yeah, right? And actually, they're totally different. I mean, Javier is so much more like the dance sort of person, but she has a lot of references that are familiar. Disco music, or 90s sort of sounds to very 80s pop, but at the same time, she's very personal, and I think it's very hard to get that going like that, and she has just a very special way of writing, which is great.
What Javier Amena song would you like to listen to?
Well, I think the album is just perfect, so it's great to listen to the whole thing, but Luz de Piedra Luna is quite a... I tried that out dancing it around in the beach when I went for vacation, so definitely Luz de Piedra Luna. We'll be right back. also the Ceci Bastidas album, which was finally released this year, Veo la Marea, is just great. And she's not just one of my, you know, one of my best friends, but she's, I think she really discovered her own sound immediately when she started writing her songs, and that to me was great, you know, to find that she always had it there. She just kind of like started developing them like a couple of years ago, and instantly it was just like so Ceci recognizable, which is great.
So what's your favorite Ceci Bastidas song?
I like them all, and I've heard the whole process of all of them, sort of. No te digan que no, I think it's a great one.
Que no te digan que no, piensa bien, piensa bien. Resiste el dolor, la humillación, que no te diga más que no. Si es verdad, volverás y sabrás que no es ahí donde debes pasar, que no te diga más que no, y que no, y aléjalo siempre de ti.
Did any of these artists that you've been listening to influence Otra Cosa?
I don't know, because I think I was very much influenced by the Unplugged. So a lot of acoustic stuff. I mean, I was listening to a lot of acoustic stuff from Architecture in Helsinki or Café Tacuba doing sort of their Unplugged. Also El Guincho is a great... it's a great album, and the spirit of it is just sort of like this danceable kind of crazy tribal thing. I mean, I play a lot of stuff. I played a lot of Animal Collective while I was doing the album. Hmm. I think Eterno, even if it might not sound at all, it was very much influenced by their album, by Meriwether. I mean, the whole combination of sort of like tribal spirit.
Okay, so we were talking about Eterno?
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and hear it?
Okay, sure.
You know, listening to the song, you don't know that it's from a Latin artist until you start singing in Spanish. And it's something that we talk about on the show occasionally, about the identity of Latin artists and how it's changing, and how artists like yourself are using so many influences from all over the musical spectrum, as you've explained to us so far.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing that more and more. Are you hearing that more and more? I mean, there's just such a wide variety. It's hard to even pin down just what is Latin music anymore, unless it's pretty obvious, and in this case it's just all over. It's great, it's beautiful.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think definitely it is growing a lot. It's I think it has to do with everybody just listening to music from all over the world. You can't really say what Latin style is anymore. And I think it's always been like that. You read music in different ways, you listen to it in different ways. You don't have to be like this certain one style or another, or you're not limited in your own territory anymore. I think it's the internet also. You listen to stuff from all over the place. It's not like a record you can get, maybe one day it'll come to your country or whatever. Now you just go into the internet and you listen to a bunch of people, and you get to know a lot of people who aren't even, you know, like big acts. That, I think, it kind of opens everybody's head a little bit.
We recently had another artist who is from the border, or started off, Carla Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
And she talked a lot about making a conscious decision to sing in Spanish, because she's also perfectly bilingual. Did you ever make that conscious decision to sing in Spanish?
It wasn't really conscious. I tried once to do something in English, because I was also very fluent in both languages. But I hated the result. I thought it sounded so bad. It just sounded kind of fake, you know? It didn't really sound like me, and it was weird. I guess it was just that I tried it once and just kind of let it go. It was like, this is a bad idea. I'll just, you know, forget about that, you know? And then I just started writing in Spanish, and good thing I got that out of the way. And that was it. And none of the bands that I played in were even into it. I mean, I think from Chantaje and Tijuana No, they were all very much into, you know, we're going to write in Spanish. This is what we're about. And sometimes they'll use phrases in English, but it was never a debate.
Cool. Well, do you want to pick one last song from your album to take us out on?
Okay, Ya Conocerán. That's a nice song to end.
Thank you so much, Julieta, for joining us in our studios today.
Thanks for having me.
Julieta Venegas is in the midst of a world tour, and she took a few moments to come and join us here at our studios at NPR.
To check out music videos of Julieta Venegas and more pictures, go to our blog, npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Jasmine Garz.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
This has been Alt Latino.
Todos los que no entienden de perder, te dirán, no pasa nada, la vida seguirá. Todos los que no saben de soledad, te dirán, todo se olvida, otro ocupa su lugar.